the word and in our hearing. Open the eyes of our heart. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord. Grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let us really see. There's some powerful things in here today, Lord. Let us really see what your word is telling us. Your word is the truth. It'll make us different. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 2. It says verse 15 through 24. I won't be able to read all of it. And again, the book of John runs in themes. And so you'll see me jump around a little bit in the book because it does jump around in its themes. So I'm going to tap on a few things, but I'm going to be all throughout the book. If you notice in your notes, if you see something that just has a chapter and verse, for example, right at the very top, it says, from the beginning, 1:1. That's John chapter 1, verse 1. If you don't see a reference down at the bottom under judgment, it says 2:15. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Everything else that's tied to a different book of the Bible will have the Bible name written down, so you can see that. Make notes on this. Add to it. It was funny. I've talked about when I go into a book of the Bible, how I do it, and I've mentioned it many times. But I'll read it through once, twice, three times. I'll read it in different translations. I talk about that a lot. But it is amazing what I'm seeing as I do that. And I pray, how many of you have been in 1 John this week? Anybody? I really pray that you are in 1 John because you'll see some of the things I'm picking up. But I continually see references to the book of Genesis and references to the book of Revelation from John the Apostle as he writes to us. And it was a great harmony in his thinking. Now, today's topic, love not the world. Really, I said, well, if I'm going to talk about the world, and I prayed about it, I said, Lord, what is the world? If we're not to love the world, what is the world? Let's read our scripture, 1 John 2:15. He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him or her. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, that is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life in what man has and does not have, and what he does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So I was thinking about what is the world, and I was praying about what is the world. You know, in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. And every time God created something, God would look down on his creation and God would say, hey, this is good. This is something that's good. In fact, at the very end, when he created man in his own image, he said, this is very good. Now, that's the world. That's the cosmos. The world is good. The food was good. The garden was good. Vacation was good. Man and women being together, married, enjoying each other's fellowship, you know, having kids. Everything about the world was good. God's creation was good. So we have to understand that when the Bible talks about love not the world, it's not telling you not to love your family. It's not telling you that you can't enjoy God's good creation. It's not telling you sex is bad inside of marriage. Under God's order, under God's system. All of God's good gifts were given to us. Creation, life, the world, it's good. How many of you have ever seen the hats or the t-shirt that says life is good? Ever seen that? Life is good, or life can be good, because God created the world. He created, this is one of the greatest evidences for a creator. There is divine order. There's a reason to the cosmos. There is actual purpose in existence. Existence is moving forward. If there was no creator, no design, life would just fall apart like an old rusty car. There'd be no one to hold it together. You know, when a car is not held together, it rusts and falls apart. God holds this creation together. Everything is in him. And so there's an order, there's a reason, there's a logic to creation, there's a purpose in creation, and it's good. So in the beginning, when God created man, he created man in his own image. How do you say that in Latin? Imagio Deo? Is that how you say it? Man in God's image. You are in God's image. Now think about this. God created man and he gave him dominion. God put Adam in the garden, and God said, Adam, you're under me, but under me, you take care of the garden. You take care of my creation. You have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. In fact, even in Psalms chapter 8, the psalmist looks up into heaven. He says, God, you're so amazing. Like today's song, I could have prophesied myself. It says, you're so amazing, God. You're vast, your creation. When I look into the heavens and I see your glory and I see your grandeur, when I look up in the stars and I see the sweep of the sky, when I see nature and creation, what am I, what is man that you even think about me? What is man that you are mindful of him? You gave him dominion. You gave him authority. You gave him power over creation. Who am I then? And Jacob, you were saying you learned who you were. I pray that you learned who you were and you continue to learn who you are, because you are way more, we are way more than we ever imagined. The Bible says we're created a little lower than the angels. The Hebrew word is Elohim. It can also mean a little lower than God, Elohim in the Hebrew. God is, Jesus is Lord, God is the creator, but under him, God gave man dominion and authority. Don't you know, guys like movies. And I know, I said, why do I like, and I know women like movies too, but guys like these action movies where there's always some dude that's in control, right? You love those karate guys that they walk into the scene, that dude walks in there. I love them. The guys come in and they're, no one can mess with them. Bruce Lee, they're in control. Whack, 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 you're done. Whack, 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 you're done. Anybody else going to mess with me? I got you, right? Kung Fu Panda. We love those, and we're looking at these guys, and even if they're a bad guy, you like them because they have dominion. They are in control. You ever notice that? That's what guys, we like that. That song, I Know What Boys Like. Well, I tell you what boys like. They like to be in control. They like to be tough. They like to think that life is in control. Why else would you like all those movies? You know, your guy gets in a situation. He's got 10 guys surrounding him, and you know he's going to come out of it. And he's going to come out okay. We enjoy that. We like to imagine that, at least when I was little, I've said it before, I'm not under any illusions now about who I can and cannot beat up. That's why I'm a runner. It's either fight or flight, and I decided long ago, I'm flight. I'm out of here. Catch me if you can, nanny, nanny, boo-boo. I'm out. But it's so cool to think that I'm in charge, and we as young men, we really liked that. I wanted to take karate, not because I so much loved the martial arts. I wanted to be in control. I want to be that guy, you hit me 50 times, but finally, after 50 times, I am going to kick your butt, okay? And everybody is on my side. We love that. I think we love that because God created man with dominion. God gave man authority. Why do we build skyscrapers? Why do we love the building? Men stand around. I'm not saying women don't. I'm speaking for men now. Men love these big buildings. We go over bridges, and you're looking at the bridges, and you're looking how they're built and how they're constructed and the cables, and your wife is saying, isn't that bird cute up there? What bird? I'm looking at this monstrosity of a suspension bridge. Look at those flowers over there, honey. What flowers? Look at this bridge. We love to build things. We love to tinker with things. Guys, don't tell me, Jerry, you guys don't get on those motorcycles because you like that authority on that. Rum, rum, rum. You love that noise. You like wearing those jean jackets and go through town. Everybody's kind of getting out of your way, right? The guys, because we just kind of like that stuff. I believe it's in our DNA. Okay, I really do. I believe it's in our DNA. We like authority. We like to be in control. But something happened to us that deeply flawed us. In the beginning, God put two trees in the garden, and this is really important that you understand this. God put the tree of life in the garden, and man could eat on that tree of life. It was good for food. It was good to look at. It tasted good. And as long as man was eating from that tree of life, he would live forever. Though I really believe, and I hope I prove it here later, that tree of life, you're eating from the fountain of God. You're getting your wisdom from God. You're getting your power from God. You're getting your authority. As long as you're eating from life, you're going to do well. Man had a connection with God. God's spirit was in man. He sent the animals by, and man gave name to all the animals. If there was any problem, Adam would take care of it. And actually, Adam's biggest sin was not watching over his wife when that nasty little snake came up to tempt her Adam should have stepped in right there and said, snake, get out of here. This is my woman. Back off. Go. In God's name. In the name of Elohim. In the name of Yahweh. Get out of here. But he didn't do that. And there was another tree in the garden. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not like man didn't have knowledge, but this was the knowledge of good and evil. Think about this. As long as you're eating from the tree of life, you're owning your dependency. God, I need you. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your authority. God, I need your power. I'm under your wisdom. I'm under your covenant. But man always had a choice, and God always gives us a choice, ladies and gentlemen. You always have a choice. You'll have a choice as a Christian and as a non-Christian. There are choices before you every day. And God said, you can eat of every tree in the garden. Now, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil was good to look at, and it was good for food, but that wasn't any different than any other tree in the garden. All the trees were good to look at, the Bible says, and they were good for food, but this tree had the ability to make you wise. That's what the devil said. If you eat this tree, man can become autonomous. Man can decide for himself what's right and wrong. And that's been our problem ever since we bit from that tree. Think about it. Man, when he bit of that fruit and ate it, he was darkened in his understanding. He was cut off from God. He lost his fellowship and he lost his authority. In Luke 4:6, the devil said, hey, I will give you all this authority, all these kingdoms, because they've been delivered to me. Who delivered them to him? God? No, Adam delivered the authority and the kingdoms to the devil when he betrayed God and broke covenant. He disobeyed the one rule, the one thing that God said. And now man was stuck. He had to decide all the time himself, what should I do? He became guilty. He had to clothe himself. He knew that he was naked. God came into the garden. He couldn't fellowship with God because God is light and man had become darkness. Doesn't John say that? Darkness came into the world. There was darkness. Now man's dark. Now man is cut off from God. He's separated and he has to go through the world deciding, should I do this or should I do that? All of our confusion, and how many of you have been confused even this week? I got confused a little this week. Come on, right? All of our confusion is because of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was originally so easy, eaten from the tree of life, in fellowship with God, no sinful nature. We're just following God's path. You could say we were walking in the Spirit of God. God said, go left. Our spirit agrees with God. We would choose what's right. We never had a desire to choose what's wrong. We're eating from God. We're feeding on God. We're living on God. No problems. The minute we start deciding, the minute we're cut off from God and we decide confusion. Should I do this? Should I do that? In fact, that's why the law was given. God says these people are in a mess. They don't know their right hand from their left hand. They're in darkness. So what I'll do, man's dead, he's cut off from God. What I'll do is I'll give him a bunch of rules, and if he follows those rules in the rule book, he'll be okay. Just don't do this, do this. So now when man had to make a decision, the Jewish people, when they had to make a decision, they would go into the Word of God or the Old Testament law, and they would read it there, and they would decide from the Word of God what was right or wrong. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. And as long as they would follow those laws, those rules, they would be okay. But how many of you know they didn't follow them? The problem was a lot deeper than just obeying rules. Fundamentally, man was cut off from God. Pretty soon, it was like, don't commit adultery, but then that reason, that mind would start, well, it means don't commit adultery unless your wife doesn't really make you happy and your heart is hard. And Moses gave him a certificate of divorce and they could divorce their wives. Don't lie unless... So the devil was still at work in the mind of man, even though he had God's laws and God's righteousness. It says in the book of Hebrews, and it's written down here somewhere in the notes in chapter 7, that the law would come, but the law had no power to enable you to do what's right. But this was God's safeguard. This was a tutor. This was a governor. This was something that was supposed to drive you to Christ. That's what the law was for. It was supposed to drive you to faith in God. It was supposed to drive you to the blood of God so that you get your sins covered. It was supposed to drive you back to dependency on God. That's the whole point. The law should have driven us back to dependency. God, we need your grace. We need your forgiveness. We need your help. But the children of Israel were driven further and further away. And the Bible says corruption reigned. Romans 5:12 says death reigned in the earth. And see, that death that man died was not just a physical death. When he said, in dying, you will die, he says, when you eat this fruit, in dying, you will die. You're going to die first spiritually. And that spiritual death that you have is going to contaminate everything. Spiritual death is going to bring poverty into the world. Spiritual death is going to bring war into the world. Spiritual death is going to bring disease into the world. It all starts from the inside with that spiritual death that separates us from God. And that's exactly what it did. Romans 5:12 says, death reigned because of Adam. How many of you has experienced any death in your life? Come on. We got a couple of folks right now that aren't here today. They're in the hospital because of the curse of what happened at that fall. You know, our bodies weren't meant to be broken. Our bodies weren't meant to be sick. They weren't meant to be diseased. All these things came in at the fall. And that law that God gave us, or those rules, were only temporary. We were following those until Christ came. Now, the Word of God says that God was not content to leave us where we're at. I'm on redemption now, if you're following me. I'm on redemption. God so loved the world. What did he love? Love not the world? There's a difference there, isn't there? God loved the world. He didn't love the sinful world, the diseased world, the fallen world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the constant message. If you will look at these scriptures and you will study them out in your notes, this is the constant message that John is giving us from the beginning. They said, in him is life. In him is eternal life. There's life in his name. There's power in his name. If you can believe it, Jesus Christ, God sent him into the world. He has become our tree of life. Jesus said in John chapter 6, he said, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no life in you. You ever felt dead, depressed, beaten up, right? No life in you. He says, if you don't eat my body and drink my blood, he says, it's my words. Go on and read further. It's my words that are spirit. It's my words that are life. Jesus has become that fellowship with God, that reuniting with God. When we are in harmony with God, when we are walking in the Spirit, when we are feeding on Jesus, he becomes our very life. He becomes our matzah bread. He becomes our Passover. He becomes our energy. He becomes our healing. He becomes our wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, Paul says, Jesus Christ is now your wisdom. And what do we need more than wisdom? What God was showing me this week, and it excited me so much, he says, Brad, if you walk in me, if my words abide in you, and you walk in me, you are reconnected to the tree of life. It says, in him we live and we move and we have our being. Every step away from Jesus is a step into death. Every step away from the Spirit is a step into death. When we think, did God say I can't sleep with my boyfriend? When we start reasoning in our mind, did God say if I like boys and I'm a boy that that's wrong? We reason in our mind and we bring curses on ourselves. I was in a Starbucks last night. Maybe I shouldn't touch on it, but I will. I went into a Starbucks. We stopped on the way back from Cincinnati, and there was a young lady there. And I'll be honest, she was pretty. She had long black hair. And I walked up, and I was trying to figure this thing out, and she had a very deep voice. And I'm like, and I looked deeper, and I realized that this was a man. And you don't know. Now, you don't know. And one of the little boys was with me. We went out the door, and he said, why did that woman have such a deep voice? We had to go back and kind of explain it to him. It's weird when you try to break things down in a small way. My heart did not go out to him in judgment or condemnation. I said, I wish I had time. I wish I could start coming in here and talking to this guy and see what's going on in his life. My heart was broken for him because he's confused. His whole life, that confusion that comes on you when you're a man and the devil tells you that you're a girl. When life, that confusion that comes on when you're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't know your right hand from your left. You're trying to make all these decisions and you're wrong. God has a design. God has an order. God has a plan. God has a purpose, and we're connected to the tree of life. We're going to get it right. It's not your wisdom. It's not your way. And we should be very afraid of our own quick wisdom on things. We should learn to be very, James said, slow to speak, slow to wrath, slow to anger, because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Our wisdom is not always the wisdom of God. God has a higher logic and a higher wisdom. And when we are in Him, we are in the light and we are in life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good news? You can walk out of your confusion by cleaving to Jesus Christ. By eating Him, by chewing on Him, by making Him your life. Paul calls it, as I've said before, walking in the Spirit. This is why John then says, yeah, the world may hate you. He says the world is going to pass away. It's temporary. He says the world has false prophets. The world has an antichrist. The world has divisions. They are of the world, he says. The world is ultimately, 1 John 5:19, under the sway of the devil, under the sway. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan is the god of this world. And that's why we're not supposed to walk and love this world. Is it okay to enjoy life? Life is good. Absolutely. One place Solomon tells a man, enjoy the wife of your youth. Enjoy the labor of your hand. Enjoy, your children are a blessing. Like, blessed is the man that has all these things are good, but when that becomes twisted, when your life becomes twisted, when you're living in darkness, when you begin to love the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, the boastful pride of life, you become disconnected from the Father. How many of you have felt the world this week pulling in on you? Boy, I felt it this week. Every day. I there's one day in particular, man, I'm just like, oh, Lord, help me. I think the Lord let me experience that, have a little compassion, because, you know, a lot of times, if you're walking in the Spirit and you're walking in the Lord, things are really good. Even, get this, even when you're being persecuted, this is real, this is true. Even when life is against you, even when you're being persecuted, if you're in the Lord, didn't they sing in the jails? Weren't they singing? When Peter got beat, weren't they worshiping God and being thankful that they were worthy to be beaten in the name of the Lord? See, they're in the Spirit. They're not looking at people. They're not looking. They got their eyes on Jesus. Jesus has become their life, and they're seeing things through a whole different lens. They're not down here in the Molly Grubs. They're living connected. Even in their difficulties and in their trials and their problems, they're living off of Jesus. And I mentioned it last week. That's why you can live independently of your circumstances. And if you want your circumstances ever to change, you better learn to live independent of them. You don't want to be in agreement with the devil. Right? You don't want to start agreeing with the devil. You're no good. You're never going to amount to anything. Oh, I'm no good. I'm never going to amount to anything. You and the devil are walking hand in hand, right? You better believe what the Lord tells you. You better believe that the greater one, greater is He that's in you than he that's where? In the world. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you so much so that He has become your life. When Paul in Romans 8 talks about creation being delivered from the bondage of corruption, he says that the sons of God have already been delivered from the bondage of corruption. He says creation has to catch up with you. You've been freed from the bondage of corruption. You've been freed from your sins. You've been freed from the power of the devil. Doesn't it say that? You've been translated out of His kingdom into another kingdom. You're free. You are the free sons of God. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Stay free. And he says, one day creation is going to catch up with the sons of God, and creation is going to be free. He talks about our bodies. Even though we have a down payment for our bodies, he says our bodies are corrupted. Every body is mortal. Mortal means death doomed. Every single person's body is going to die. Anybody losing any hair in this room? No, nobody? You shave it off, you won't lose any, right? Anybody getting a little creakier? No, our bodies are death doomed. Now, we can receive healing from God. Do you know that's a patch? Your bodies are still, says they still, the down payment has been paid for your body. The redemption price has been paid. That's how you can get a healing from God, because Jesus paid for it. But you're going to get a patch. You're going to need another patch. Has anybody got two patches around here? You go to the doctor and they patch you up here and they patch you up there. You get a healing from the Lord. Yeah, we're getting patched up. Do you know one day we're going to have a body just like Jesus? Amen. That new, amen. That new spirit you have right now, okay, it's going to be housed in an incorruptible body. The Lord will quicken your body right now. He says he will. The Lord will give strength to your body right now, okay? The Lord will help you in your body right now. And that's why, because this world is under a curse, and because this world is headed for judgment, John says, don't love this world. In Revelation, John says, come out from the world. Don't partake in her sins. God's going to judge this world. He says, come out of Babylon, come out of the world, because God's going to judge this world. And scripture after scripture, the Bible tells us, do you know that the curse is still here? If Satan is God of this world, then the curse is still in this world, isn't it? What's happened in our redemption, Paul says, we have been raised up and we have been seated with Christ. We've been raised above the world. That's what he means when he says you're dead to this world, you're alive to another world. He says our life now is in Jesus. Our whole life, it says we live, in Colossians 3:1, we live through him. We live through the very life of Christ. The world hasn't changed. Yeah, I mean, no, there's still cancer out there. There's still war out there. There's still divorce out there. There's still poverty out there. But you have been separated away from this world to God. Come out from her so you don't partake of the judgment that's coming on the world. You know the world's going to be judged? I was thinking this week about life being good, because life is good. Particularly in America, you can think, man, life is really good. I've got a good job. If you've got money, and not everybody in this room does, but if you've got money, you've got a good job, your kids are healthy, you know things are going to change sooner or later, right? I mean, you're going to die. So somebody's going to pass away. Something's going to happen. But when things are good like that, we can think everybody in the world's just like us. We've got money. I've got a good marriage. Kids are healthy. Everything is really good. But you know, this world is full of disaster. I know some of you have been on mission trips with me. In Guatemala, there was no doctor in Guatemala. How many people did we serve over 3 days? 600 people with no doctor, nothing. You give them a Tylenol, they thank you profusely for it. People with broken bones that sat right where they were. People with bumps on their leg, they don't know what it is, and they don't have money to go to a village a couple hundred miles away or however far away it was to get to a doctor. We're kind of blessed and insulated in this country to a degree. Honduras is the same. Haiti, Denny is the same. People are hungry. No medicine, no doctor. We have it really good. But even in things being good, if I ask you to raise your hand and said, how many of you have been touched by divorce? Your mom, your dad, you, brother, about everybody would raise their hand, wouldn't you? At divorces of the devil. Disunity, anger, separation. I've been divorced. I had a woman leave me. Say, no wonder. Amen. Amen. No wonder. Hang in there, Pam. Judgment day's coming, baby. Don't worry. You ever see that poster with that cat hanging? It says, hang in there, baby. You ever seen that? A little cat hanging off that pole? That's old Pammy. She's hanging in there. No, that I'm just telling you, how many know that things, there's war all over the world? You just got to watch the news. How many think this country is kind of at a war amongst itself? You know, we're not going to go there, right? Let's just be good. This country's at war amongst itself right now. There's a battle going on everywhere. Everywhere you look, you can see that there's fallenness to humanity. Just the fact that you've been tempted. The fact that we have people that are in the hospital. No, life is good, but it can also be very deceiving. And it can be, how about the guy in the scriptures, and I'm going to close here. How about the guy in the scriptures that he built bigger barns, and he was rich, and he was doing well. He said, I'm just going to retire, and I'm going to take life easy. And then the Lord came and said, you fool, this day your life is going to be required from you. Now, this world will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. All things one day will be restored, but they're not restored now. The way that Christians escape is we give our lives to God through Jesus Christ. Isn't it funny that there was a tree of life in the garden? What did Jesus die on? A tree. His tree of death has become our tree of life. When you exchange your life for his life, his death becomes your life. He died to give you life and set you free. And folks, I'll tell you how practical and how real this is. If you learn to follow the Lord and follow his counsel and follow his wisdom and follow his path, you will partake of life. When John wrote this book at the very beginning, he said, I write these things that your joy might be full. I didn't write these things so your life is depressed. I write this so your joy will be full. You're in fellowship with God. We're in fellowship together. We're in the light. That's going to bring great joy to you. But when we step off the path of life, we step into darkness. Now, one day, God is going to restore everything back until its original design. But until then, we cleave to Jesus. We walk in his spirit. We walk and live through him. I encourage you to go through these scriptures and the ones in 1 John that tell you that you have life in his name, that you have life in him. What this has done for me this week, it's been powerful. I'm realizing that every step I take, everything I do should be in him. Everything I do should be led by him. Every reaction, every decision, every step out, I should be led by the Lord. And my wisdom and God's wisdom are often contrary. But I have to decide, am I going to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, I think I can figure this out. Here I go again, around the bush, right? Or am I going to cleave to the Lord and trust him? That tree of life works through faith and trust. It works through faith and trust in what God has done for you. Where are you at today? What tree are you eating from? What tree are you living from? The tree of confusion and darkness, or the tree of life? Amy, if you're here, I don't even see you. Once you come up, someone smile. We get too serious when I start.